during that last drive, he had come up to me and said, "Hey, man, if they're punting this ball backed up, or if they're punting this ball, put me back there, or I want to go back there and make a play." Just a really unselfish football player, trying to do anything he could to help the organization win a football game. He knew it was a spot where really the team needed him. He wanted a chance to step up and make a play for the team. So obviously he jumped back in there to take that kick. Obviously it's unfortunate what happened, that, and we all know that injuries are a part of the game, but you never like seeing them, not to any player, but certainly not to great players like him.
That was Dave Phipp, Eagles special teams coordinator, explaining what happened with DeSean Jackson, who came up to him and said, "Hey, put me in there. I want to make a play for the team." And unfortunately, he ended up breaking his ankle, and his season with the Eagles may be over. Maybe he can come back at the end of the season, but it's going to be some time.
Nah, I can't accept that. I can understand DeSean wanting to go back there and make a play or what have you, but you can't allow him to. Doug Peterson can't allow that. He's too important to the offense. This is a critical juncture of the game. We're getting the ball back. We're going to need him. We haven't returned a punt around here in 10 years. What, DeSean's going to return a punt
since
for
he
a
left.
Touchdown? Right? He hasn't returned a punt for 3 or 4 years, right? Like, and you have to understand that is a chaotic play, right? It's an uncontrolled environment to a degree on special teams. And I would view his importance to the offense on that final drive so high that I wouldn't want to risk it on a punt return. A twisted ankle, anything could happen on a punt return where he can't finish off that drive.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine if they lose that game because Carson can't complete passes and DeSean got hurt on that drive? That would be a bigger deal that this guy that you've been waiting to get back for the last 5 weeks, and you've been monitoring his snaps so much so that you take him out of crucial moments in the game, in the red zone, because limiting his snaps is more important to you, that you don't play him the entire game. So that final drive should have been so important that we can't risk having DeSean Jackson back there getting injured and we don't have him on the final drive. Not to mention muff the punt, fumble the punt because he's trying to do too much, because he so desperately wants to go back there and make a play that he may do something that he shouldn't do, whereas Greg Ward is just going to catch the ball and fair catch it. The number one objective for special teams after every kick, was a kickoff or punt return, is to make sure your offense is taking the field with the ball. So you want to make sure you secured the ball. DeSean was able to do that. But he also didn't fair catch that when he should have.
Mm-hmm.
So he put himself immediately in harm's way because he wanted to make a play. Now, you know, I love DeSean. And I think he's one of the best returners when he was doing it full time that the game has seen. But that can also be viewed as a selfish play.
So, right? So does Phipp have to go clear it with Doug?
Yeah. Yes.
So he goes over and says, "Hey, DeSean wants
to
return."
Or on the headset, whatever. Yeah. DeSean wants to go back there. Yeah, Doug has to clear that. Because Doug has to be thinking about, where am I going to use him at on offense?
Mm-hmm.
So he has to give the clearance to allow him to do a punt return. Because, again, you know why they don't put starting receivers back there to return punts? They don't want them to get injured.
Yep.
They don't want them to get injured. Because on those plays, that's what can happen. And he only wants to go back there unless you tell him specifically to just fair catch it. He's looking to make a play. So that means he's going to take a risk. And it can be an unnecessary risk that could result in a fumble or a muff punt.
Yeah, that's what I'd be worried about more is that.
That's what I'm saying. All of it is so many negative things that can happen versus you returning that for a touchdown or a big return.
Yeah, I think if he hadn't returned a punt since 2018, and even then it was like five punts he did the whole year. And then
right.
Before that it was a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what ended up happening was what you're talking about right now.
And I'm not surprised Deshaun wanted to go back there because he's saying to himself, oh, I've been in this position.
Yeah,
this is my time, yes. But that's living in the past. That's all that is.
It was 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's living in the – man, that was 10 years ago.
It was 10 years
ago. Like, literally, that wasn't even exaggeration. That was really 10 years ago.
Yep.
But, I mean, listen, it's unfortunate it didn't work out, but I thought about that, man, because I'm like, why don't we even put him back there, man? Like,
too much could go wrong. There's too much to lose, right?
And I've been trying to keep him healthy all year.
Yeah.
Right? I've been trying to keep him on the field. Oh, well.
Yeah. All right, look who's on the line. Chuck from Mount Airy.
Uh-oh.
You think Chuck is a fan of the Eagles-Cowboys rivalry?
Oh, he loves it.
Chuck, what's up, brother?
Yo, my main man, my two main brothers, how y'all feeling?
What's Chuck. Up, Chuck?
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Cowboys, I hate them with a passion. You know what I'm saying? I used to work down at a convention center. I used to do security down there. I remember I seen Emmitt Smith. He was down there for some presidential convention or something like that. And everybody was saying, oh, that's Emmitt Smith. Oh, that's Emmitt Smith. I'm like, damn, I thought y'all was Eagles fans, man. I'm like, I don't care who it is, man. Herschel Walker or Randall Cunningham or McNabb. Or not. You know, I'm an Eagles fan. I don't care who you is. And he looked at me. I looked at him. I guess he thought I was going to say something to him. I wanted to say, you got a meatball head. I couldn't stand Emmitt Smith. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Emmitt doesn't like us either, Chuck.
He used to destroy us. Out of all the actually Cowboys I hate the most is Emmitt Smith.
It's him.
He's got that smug look. And I just don't like him. See, I like Troy Aikman now. He grew on me because he's a great announcer.
Yeah.
And then you got Michael Irvin. He come on WIP, you know what I mean? And, you know, we heard him before. So, you know, he was great.
You got to feel bad for him, yeah.
Yeah, but he come on WIP, show a little love.
Yeah.
But Emmitt Smith, I can't stand Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, Emmitt is up there in my top.
Easily.
My top. Cowboys that I don't like.
Easily.
And I think it is more, Chuck, because of the arrogant smugness about Emmitt Smith. I mean, Emmitt Smith was smugged at the Mall of America.
At the Radio Row for the Super Bowl, Chuck. So he's doing an interview with our Dallas station, and we start riling up the Eagles fans, and they start chanting, Dallas sucks. During the middle of the interview, he literally lost it and started screaming at us, and he was saying, you guys have no class.
He's so mad. He one of them. Yeah, he one of them. You know what? I tell you one thing, man. Emmitt, I don't like him at all. I wouldn't want to fight Emmitt. I wouldn't want to fight Emmitt Smith if I was a football player. I wouldn't want to fight him. And you know what? I just remember Buddy Ryan and hate, because that's my era. The hate that he had for Jim Johnson. You know what I'm saying? He hated nobody more than he hated the Cowboys. And that just stuck with me, that blood, that hatred for the Cowboys. I don't care how much they stink. I want them to stink. And I'd rather just smash him like a cockroach. Keep smashing him. Even when they stink, I want to keep smashing him. Keep stomping him.
I like it, Chuck.
All right, calm down. It's only Tuesday, man.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Man, we
ended. How about this, Cowboys?
All right, Chuck, listen, we're going to need you the rest of this week, all right? So relax. We definitely need you Thursday, Friday.
Not Thursday and Friday. One or the other.
Listen. I won't call in like that. I call in one time. I like talking to you. Listen, I got one dude that, to me, he will be the biggest woke ever.
Who?
And that's, I hope he's listening because you stink. And that's Javon Hargrave. You stink.
Oh, God.
All right, brothers.
All right, Chuck.
Be safe, man.
Bye.
There he is. He's back on Hargrave again.
Yeah, he don't like Hargrave, man. I got to admit, Hargrave haven't necessarily warmed up to everybody.
No.
I mean, we don't see him. Doesn't do Zooms, doesn't speak a whole lot, doesn't make a lot of plays.
Misses easy sacks.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
215-592-9494. Marks and Race, 215-592-9494. So many wotes. There's just too many wotes to even count.
Oh, yeah.
This is Philadelphia Sports, after all. Rich Kotite's been getting a lot of support on Twitter.
Oh, there you go. Chip Kelly, too.
Chip Kelly has been getting a lot of support on Twitter.
Well, who's the bigger wote, Chip or Rich Kotite?
Rich Kotite. Like, I hate.
I wasn't here when Rich was here, so y'all would have to. I would leave that.
I mean, like, Chip is more hateable because Kotite was just a total dunce.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, all the national people Jeffrey Lurie, when he bought the team, the whole talk was, well, you have to extend Kotite, because at the time the team had a good record and was a playoff team before that, and Kotite had nothing to do with that. And Jeffrey Lurie said, no, I'm not extending him. So I remember on Monday Night Football broadcast where they were like literally just tearing into the Eagles for not extending Rich Kotite.
Right.
And then they end up losing like their last seven games the Eagles do of the season. He gets fired, and the Jets hire him. Mm-hmm. He goes 1-15 up there. So Kotite was the total idiot. But he took a Hall of Fame defense, Randall Cunningham, real skill, and just did nothing with it. Totally lost it. I would say Kotite. Coming up, Marks and Reese text line. Rest of your phone calls as well. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Let's talk about DraftKings for a second. You know what's going on with DraftKings. A lot going on. And whether it's pro or college sports, this is the time to check out all the DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer. If you haven't tried the app yet, go to the App Store now. You don't want to miss this. So we're going to celebrate the showdown in Happy Valley. DraftKings Sportsbook giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when you place a bet on either Ohio State or Penn State. Additionally, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. And on top of those great sign-up offers, DraftKings offers great odds boost every Sunday to help you make it rain. And DraftKings is safe, reliable, secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Philly when you sign up, and you'll get the can't-miss offer. Pick Penn State or Ohio State. Bet $1 to win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100. Just use promo code Philly during sign-up. That's for a limited time. All right, Marks and Reese, we're back. Text line coming up in just 1 second. Our Twitter questions today brought to you by Marks Jewelers. If you're thinking of getting engaged, you have to visit Marks Jewelers in their 25,000 square foot showroom online, marks-jewelers.com. The Woat of Philly Sports got a lot of attention on our Twitter question. Sean Bradley mentioned many times. Chip Kelly, Marion Campbell, former Eagles coach. How about this? Fultz, Markelle Fultz.
Oh, yeah.
He's a strong contender, right?
Oh, yeah. Wish we had him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right now, certainly. Some other good ones there. So J-Jaw made the list a couple times, too. I don't know if I'm ready to say that yet. But
oh, yeah, I am. I think it's safe to go ahead.
Is it?
Yeah.
There's no breakout.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think it's happening.
I mean, it doesn't look great for a. I'm wondering if he can be a contributor.
Yeah, like a serviceable receiver.
Yeah. Good blocker, maybe a catch.
Okay.
Maybe. All right, we'll finish up on the phones. Let's get to the Marks and Reese text line brought to you by our friends at the casino at Delaware Park. Delaware Park is open for gaming, live racing, sports wagering, and golf. Visit DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play. Text line. Text line.
I'm sorry, but did Trey not sound pumped to be babysitting? Rosa in South Jersey.
I don't think he did, but it's not a baby. I want to say it's a preteen or
adolescent.
Yeah, I think so. I think his youngest might be
like 12-ish.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
That's what I think. Based on pictures, it looks like that's what it is. And his older son is 17, 18, about to get out of school. Almost next.
Ike, that right there is why even though you're from Cincy, you're a Philly guy. Tommy from down the shore.
Oh,
there
Tommy.
You go. That right there. What happened?
Oh, your blackout early. The Cowboys.
Yeah. Riled everybody up. Philly guy. Absolutely. Philly guy status.
That was like a half blackout.
Yeah, it was, no, you're right. It wasn't
a
full
one.
No, not a full one. Half one, though. People like it.
I like it.
People listen to it.
Yeah.
Good.
The Dallas Cowboys, the Philly guy's tattoo, and the anti-Wentz arguments of Santilla Giglio, Karen Shore Parks, and Rubber Ducky DeCamera. What do they all have in common? They're fading faster than Marty McFly's family photo. Hey, Johnny, be good. Scott from Delco.
Oh, man. Great text from...
As usual.
From Scott, as usual.
He's probably our best texter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, about far.
Absolutely.
Him and Joe and New Hope.
Joe New Hope is a good tip. Well, he's not a good texter. He's a frequent texter.
Yes.
Hell. I don't know if he's a good one. What's next?
The Woat of Philly Sports, Howie Roseman. John Ritchie from Villanova.
Well, I mean, listen, John, he did win a Super Bowl.
Uh-oh.
Now, you might have said that it was lucky, and that's fine, but the moves that he made did pay off for that 1 year. So I don't think you can say he's the WOAT. What's next?
Can't wait to win the WOAT of Broad Street in 10 years. Jake Arrieta from the weight room trying to get ready to steal money from another team this offseason.
Yeah, the difference is, though, they're going to pay him $1 million or $2 million this year.
Right.
Not 25?
Yeah, Philly's paid him 25. Great. Yeah, Jake will go down as one of the recent WOATs.
Yes.
With the Phillies. I saw Adam Eaton mentioned a couple times on Twitter.
The worst.
The worst.
Neshek.
Pat Neshek, who was an all-star. Yeah. People hated.
Yeah.
Well, Jason Babin had like a almost a franchise record in sacks. People
yeah.
hated him.
Yeah.
He was the worst.
18 sacks in a season.
He was the worst.
I've never seen 18 more meaningless sacks in my life.
Oh, he was the worst. What's next?
How will Giglio do his show tonight after watching Foles throw his sixth pick in four games? Just fine. He's watched 10 interceptions in seven games here this year. Numb to it by now. Joe and New Hope.
He's used to it.
See, I want to go at him, but see, then Nick becomes collateral damage.
And he does.
See, and I don't want to be going at Nick.
Well, I mean, listen.
I do not want to dance on Nikki Sixx's grave. I do not want to do that. That's not what I'm doing.
And that ends up, that's what happens when.
When I got to go back at Joe Santolagiglio.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's like fighting with one hand tied behind your back. You know what I mean? I can't go at him full barrel because I actually have respect, unlike our producer, for the guy who helped us win our first ever Super Bowl title.
Yeah, he has no respect for him.
Yeah, I have respect for him. But, man, I don't know how many more games he has out there in Chicago before they decide to go back.
I'd mix in a couple touchdown passes next start. Just yes. saying. They have the Saints next week? Is that who they're –
Either the Saints or Green Bay.
So they are the Bears are 5-2, and as Nick Costos, our ace handicapper, said, they're the worst.
They got the Saints at home and then go to Tennessee.
Yeah, it's probably a loss.
That could be two straight losses.
Yep.
5-4.
Vikings, bye week, Packers, Lions, Texans. I mean, not
murderous
really
road,
hard, but not easy. You know, you got the Packers one more time. You got the Packers twice. That's not good. You got the Saints, Titans. I mean, they'll be.
That could be four more losses right there.
Yeah, it could be.
And then you got to play the Vikings twice. And if you split there, that's five more losses.
Nine probably gets them in. Maybe.
See, the problem with them is that they're not going to win their division. So they had to have a better record than teams like Arizona.
Which they might not.
The Saints.
Oh, and by the way, the Rams, after watching last night. Rams are a good team.
Yeah. So you got to, I mean, listen, they're the best NFC East team there is out there.
Yep. Yep. Undefeated.
So they've beaten the four NFC East teams and a Chicago's Bears team that averages about 10 points a game.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're not all that impressive. Their five wins come against.
I mean, but they got them in the bag.
They just, to me, they're balanced, right? Like, their defense is good. They can run the ball. McVay knows what he's doing with his personnel. Jared Goff looked good again last night.
And the key you said, they run the ball.
Yep. Two guys
they
that can run the ball.
Stick to the run.
Yep. Oh, yeah, McVay's very good.
They stick to it. They know Goff shouldn't be throwing the ball 40-plus times a game.
Yeah, I mean, I do not like Matt Nagy. I don't think he's a very good coach. Just with the play calling, right? Like, there's not a lot of flow to the game.
No. I mean, listen, Nick, you're – We saw Nick in the Tampa game where he was telling Nagy to
let
him keep going, and Nagy called a timeout or something and stopped the flow.
And he went over and he was kind of yelling at him on the sideline.
Telling him. So then the next time they play, you get the Brian Griese.
And then Brian Griese comes out and says that Nick was saying that he doesn't get the plays in quick enough, and he doesn't know what it's like out there. I mean, yeah.
All right, Nagy.
All right, one more in here. Let's go to Andrew. Andrew in Drexel Hill, you have to make it quick.
Please.
Andrew, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks. Great show. And quickly, I wanted to say about that third-string Dallas quarterback.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Ben DiNucci.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought, oh, great. You know, we're down to their third-string quarterback until I heard, I think it was on your show, that he was from Western PA. And
So he's got to be Dan Marino or Jim Kelly or somebody like that.
Yeah, Johnny U. Right. So anyway, I thought, yeah, we don't want to make a star out of him, future Hall of Famer. But and then moving over to my vote is Jonathan Papelbon.
Oh,
thank you for
Papelbon.
Saying it, Andrew. Thank you.
Billy's all time leader in saves.
Yeah, because votes don't have to be bad players. They just have to be the worst.
Right.
Jonathan Papelbon's the worst.
And I didn't want to name him because I always name him. Somebody got him before we ended the show. Happy. Papelbon.
I'm glad I took the call.
Wasn't a bum. Wasn't a bum. He's all time leader in saves. Please respect him.
So what?
Oh, we respect Nick Foles. I mean, we can respect Jonathan Papelbon.
Please, you're trying to play compare Nick Foles to a cement head closer.
Both team cancers.
Here we go. Coming up next, Giglio, and he's riding with the King.
Howard Erskine.
Howard's joining Joe. Coming
the
up next.
Still riding.
Speaking of Cowboys fan.
Oh, he was a Jimmy Johnson fan. Jack wasn't a Cowboy fan. Jimmy Johnson fan.
I don't know if that.
Well, that's what he says. Yeah. I was a listener and I lived through those times. I would disagree with that, but that's just me.
Yeah, he shouldn't be allowed to live that one down.
All right, they're coming up next, everybody. We're back tomorrow. Be safe. Talk to you then. See you. Hey, let's talk about hot water for a second. You don't think about hot water, right, until you don't have any. And if you're not getting the hot water you need, well, you should do something about it before it becomes a bigger problem. And did you know that heating water is the second largest user of energy in your home? So how you heat your water matters, right? Like, if your water heater's not using it efficiently and it's taking longer and it's taking your water heater more energy to get your water hot, it's killing you when you get your electric bill, right? So Bradford White is a Philly-based company that's been making built-to-be-the-best water heaters for over 130 years. That's why you should choose the quality, efficiency, and performance of a Bradford White water heater. And I know because I have a Bradford White water heater in my home, it delivers the hot water my family needs every day, year after year, worry-free. And whether it's tank or tankless, gas or electric, there's a Bradford White water heater perfect for your home. And Bradford White believes in the importance of professional installation of their products. So if you go to one of the big home improvement stores, you're not going to see Bradford White products. You can only get them through your plumbing pro. So tell your plumbing professional you want the quality, reliability, and performance of Bradford White. And listen, ask your plumber. Say, hey, what about Bradford White? They're going to tell you it's a great choice. And you can check this out. Local energy companies are offering rebates on many Bradford White water heater models. Plus, you can get tax credits, too, so you can get the best and save up to $700. So visit BradfordWhite.com to learn more and to find a plumbing pro near you.